Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll...
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Welcome to the broadcast today. This is Susan Puzio, and this is the Prophetic News Radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And I wanted to remind you today that we do have a YouTube channel, and it's under my name, Susan Puzio. We also have a channel called Greedy Preachers TV. Now, wouldn't that make a great series on television? Would love to see the Greedy Preachers reality show on TV. So maybe I can get a producer and a director, and we could do the Greedy Preachers TV network. Hallelujah. That would be wonderful. It never ceases to amaze me. Now, yesterday I happened to look at a broadcast that Paula White was doing. She calls it her Unleashed Conference, but nobody got unleashed there. It was just a scam, a way to scam people. And just despicable. Despicable. These people are so low. They just keep stooping to new lows in their heresy and in their disrespect for Jesus Christ and his gospel. And then the night before, I looked at the Word Network, and they were having some kind of a convention from Paul Morton. And of course, he calls himself Bishop Paul Morton, and all the people are dressed in white. All the women have white dresses on. The men have white suit jackets on, and the men have Roman Catholic priest collars on. And Morton, he's wearing a dress. I don't know. What is going on? Please. And they bring on the scam artist, one of the major scam artists, who is the third presiding bishop, which means now that Morton is retiring, I don't know who the second presiding bishop is, who's going to take his place, but the third presiding bishop and pimp preacher extraordinaire is Clarence McClendon. So they called McClendon up, and he goes into all his gymnastics and whatever. And, of course, he says that the Holy Spirit, which is no Holy Spirit at all, the only spirit that talks to Clarence McClendon is the devil and his demonic spirits. And Clarence says that there's 23 people that are supposed to give $1,000. Now, isn't that the sign of a master hypnotist, power of suggestion? Because if the Holy Spirit was truly speaking to 23 people, they would have brought their $1,000 themselves. Nobody had to stand up there and be the Holy Spirit for them to tell them what they're supposed to do. You're supposed to hear from God for yourself. And a prophet can confirm things to you, but you're responsible for hearing God for yourself. Don't go running around everywhere trying to get a word, because you might get one of those Clarence McClendon words false prophet Clarence E., I think, McClendon. Disgraceful. Disgraceful. Can't these people do anything else besides... Now imagine, they hold this big conference. The place was packed. It was a huge arena. Oh, yikes. There must have been 10,000, maybe more than that people. Telling people to hold up their money and wave it at God and all the people. They're just like a bunch of robots. They can't think for themselves. I like individuality. I don't want to be like everybody else. And I don't expect other people just to imitate other people and be like somebody else. Be an individual. Be who you are. All I saw was everybody dressed in white. They all wanted to be accepted, so they all wanted to look alike, talk alike. They were all holding up their checks and their money envelopes in the air and waving it at God. Like, what do you think God was thinking when he saw all that? You think God was impressed? No, God was not impressed. No, he was not impressed with that at all. Now, you have to have some kind of powers, you really do, to get grown people from anywhere from the age of, you know, maybe 2 years old or whatever, up on into the 90s, these people were. Now, you know, some fine-looking people dressed to the hilt, you know, the ladies with the hats, and the men had their tailor-made suits on and all that. Now, these aren't ignorant people. Some of these people are very well-educated, but you have to have some kind of magical power from the devil to get grown people, educated people, well-dressed people to wave money at God. Yeah, please. I couldn't believe it. I was like, Lord, when is this going to end? When? How much more can people take that you invite? Imagine inviting somebody to your house. Like, how many of you have ever hated when somebody invited you to their house and it turned out to be a multi-level marketing thing that they were trying to get you involved with? Like, didn't that just irritate you to no end? I know many times I was irritated to no end that somebody would actually waste my time inviting me over for tea or whatever, and then it turned out to be some kind of multi-level marketing thing. So imagine these people taking time off from work, taking time out of their day, their busy days, their busy weeks away from their family, traveling to this location, getting a hotel room, and then the whole time they're there, all they're doing is getting fleeced. They can't even get a break. They can't even go somewhere and have fellowship. Doesn't the Bible say how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together? So isn't it wonderful to have fellowship with true believers? And you go and you just want to be together because you like each other. You're not looking at think that you can get into somebody's checkbook or something. So these poor people, they don't even get a break. They go to a convention, they're getting fleeced. They go to church on Sunday, they're getting fleeced. They go to these conferences, they're getting fleeced. It's just like this thing last night at Paula White's thing, disgraceful. That Cindy Trim, what a witch, right from the pit. She stepped right up out of the pit, this woman. And she actually got, after manipulating these people for an hour and a half or more, talking about seed faith and how God put $500,000 in her bank account when she sowed her first $1,000 seed to Mike Murdoch, of all people. And, you know, that can happen for you too, you know. And so she actually got over 20 people to stand up and run up front with their money. And so then the ones that didn't have $1,000, she said, okay, now we're going to make it $500. I don't know. It looked to me like there was a couple hundred people that ran up there with $500. So imagine, they probably took in over $100,000 just in that little offering there. Oh, dear, but you know what? You can't take it with you. So if they wind up in hell, they're not going to take it with them. Nobody ever took anything with them when they left this earth. When you die, it's over. You don't take anything. And if you don't live right and do right and serve God, then you're going to wind up where it's hot. So I have news for all these people. You might be laughing all the way to the bank now, but it's not going to be funny when you die and you're separated from God for all eternity, and you know it, that you're separated from God. So if you can't treat people right and do right by people, then please do not call yourself a Christian. Could you please call yourself what you are, a Satanist? Just call yourself what you are. Stop trying to masquerade as a man of God or a woman of God. Just take the mask off already, okay? Take it off. We know that you're wearing a mask. I know you're wearing a mask. And most of the people that listen to this broadcast know you're wearing a mask. Just take it off. Take the word Christian out of your vocabulary. Take the name of Jesus out of your vocabulary. Take the Holy Spirit out of your vocabulary, because it doesn't belong there. It does not belong there. Just say, look, I'm a child of the devil, and that's who I am. I serve the devil, and I love money. Just say it. Say it. Disgraceful. Anyway, there's so much in the news this week. So much in the news. And Jesus promised. Now, this is a faith promise, something that Jesus promised us. So, which the prosperity teachers don't like to tell you, that Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulation. Now, this week, we've seen many things in the news that shocked us and will continue to shock us as the days go by. So I think it's very important for us to stay in the Word of God, know what the Word of God says, keep our eyes open, have ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the church, the real church of the Lord Jesus Christ, that doesn't bow the knee to the devil, and we stand up for the gospel of Jesus Christ, unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So the real gospel of Jesus Christ, the real gospel, not what we see portrayed. But now, did you ever think in your life, now, I couldn't believe what I was seeing the other night. I happened to turn on the ESPY Awards. Okay, these are supposed to be awards for people in sports. The ESPY Awards, I don't know that much about the ESPY Awards, but you have all these, hunky football players there, men 6 foot, over 6 foot, muscles, 200 pounds, 250 pounds, just muscles everywhere. And all kinds of athletes that, yeah, they have to stay in shape. They have to be in condition to be athletes. And people dressed up to the nines, the women dressed up in gowns, and the place was packed. And now, can you imagine? Did you ever think that you were going to see something like this in your life? Out comes a man dressed in a ball gown with makeup and standing up there on the platform, a man dressed like a woman, and now saying that, with the male voice now, you know, makeup, the hair, the gown, everything, but still talks like a man, like a man's voice is coming out, and standing up there saying that, now I am a woman. Like, did God make a mistake? God doesn't know what he's doing. God didn't know what he was doing. In other words, this man, Bruce Jenner, who must have a tremendous mental illness, God made a mistake, and he's always felt like he was a woman. He always felt like he was a woman. Oh, okay. So, and then to top it all off, you see people applauding. Football, like I'm saying, these real, you know, hunky guys, football players, they're applauding. Standing ovation. Now, could you please tell me the contribution? What contribution did this poor man that thinks he's a woman, what contribution did he make to the world that he got an award? They gave this man an award for dressing up like a woman. I couldn't, that was hard to take. I, you know, it's like, come on. Like, if this is a sports event, and yeah, okay, Bruce Jenner was a tremendous athlete in his day. And so, but that was back in, I think, what, the 1970s or whatever, when he was in the Olympics. It was a long time ago. He hasn't been athletics for a very, very, very long time. So could you at least please give at the ESPY Awards, could you please at least give the award to a sports figure, a current sports figure, that deserves to have an award, not a man standing up there dressed like a woman who now says he is a woman. I thought it was really insane. I couldn't believe the whole thing. I couldn't even believe I was watching it. I was like, what is going on in the world today? And then if you say anything, if you try to say anything, oh, it's hate speech, and somebody's going to commit suicide because you tell them that, no, you can't be a man if you're a woman, or you can't be a woman if you're a man. Oh, they're going to kill themselves. No, that's not the reason they're going to kill themselves. That's not the reason. But we're coming to a day where our speech as Christians is going to be hate speech, because they're going to say we hate. No, I don't hate those people. I don't hate them. But God, in his infinite wisdom, has made a set of rules and regulations that we are supposed to live by. So I think God knows what he's doing. I think God knows what's right and what's wrong. And the Bible says that it's not right for a man to dress up as a woman. Let's look at a couple of scriptures here. And so they can say that one line that they like to say, if you happen to be debating with someone that's homosexual, as they say, well, Jesus never said anything. Well, Jesus did so say something, because Jesus was the Word made flesh, and so the Bible is his Word. So God had a lot to say about it. If you look at Leviticus 18:22, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. Leviticus 20:13. If a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. Deuteronomy 22:5. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man. Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do so are an abomination. So, if somebody would go up to somebody like Bruce Jenner and say, quote, these particular scriptures, they would say, That's hate speech. Well, that's coming because I think in Canada and I think in the United Kingdom, you can't really speak out about homosexuality because they say it's hate speech. So that's coming, where you can quote a scripture to someone and they are going to call you a hater. You're a hater. No, I'm not a hater. I once was lost and now I'm found. I know what it is not to have Jesus Christ in my life. And we want to tell people the truth because their eternal destiny is riding on them accepting the truth and accepting Jesus Christ and accepting his word as our guidebook of life to tell us what to do, what's right and what's wrong. What a day. What a day we are living in. And we need to look at Romans. And if you look at Romans 1, and this is a great scripture for people involved in homosexuality because it's God lays it all out there. He lays it all out. God said in Romans, and I'll start reading at verse 24, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. Now, that's pretty plain. That's pretty plain language there, Romans 1. You can't deny what the scriptures say. And yeah, Brother Vince, that's true. Report people to the authorities. Well, that's coming. You think that now with the so-called Supreme Court saying that it's okay for men to marry men and women to marry women? And I look, they can't. You cannot marry someone of your own sex. You can't have children. You can never, you will never reproduce children. You will still have to have a man or a woman involved. So, and of course, children should always be reproduced in a marriage. And so, now with this ruling, these people, and the next thing they're going to do because they demand that you accept them. They demand that you like them. I don't have to like everybody. You don't have to like me, okay? I don't demand that everybody likes me. No, I don't expect everybody to like me, and I don't have to like everybody. I can love people, but I don't have to like what they're doing. And so, but they're going to demand, they demand that you bake them a cake, or they're going to close down your business. They demand that you make flowers for their weddings, or they're going to close down your business. Look, if I don't want to make flowers for you, respect me, respect who I am too. You want me to respect you, then you have to respect me too. But no, they don't respect Christianity. If you don't do what they want you to do, they're going to close you down and you're going to get fined and you might go to jail. What? No. And then the next thing they're going to demand is that pastors marry them. And so I think the next thing to look out for is they're going to start coming into churches and asking to be married, and then if you don't marry them, they'll try to get your church closed down, or they'll sue you, or whatever. Well, come on! What kind of humanity is that? That you demand that I do what I don't want to do, what I know is wrong to do. No, you have to have respect for people that if they don't want to like you and they don't want to be with you, you can't force yourself on people. Who likes that? I don't like that. And I'm sure they don't like it. They don't like Christians. Did you ever notice sometimes when you see these videos of Christians witnessing to certain groups of people, they start cursing you out and, I mean, really letting you have it and then acting like they want to punch you and spit on you. And, oh, yeah, that's a real good way to try to get a message across, isn't it? No, it isn't. It isn't. But in the days ahead, our persecutions and the things that we're going to have to endure as Christians, it's going to get tougher. It's going to get a lot tougher to take a stand between what's right and wrong. Just think now, I know spending a lot of time overseas, especially in England, now it wasn't anything new where people stopped saying they were married. They stopped saying I have a husband or a wife. The new word was I have a partner. And usually you start to see things happen first, especially in Europe, where they already have one currency in many places, and they have these hate crime laws. And so now here they've brought up some bills where they don't want to call people by a man or a woman. Now it's going to be my partner. So there'll be no distinction. They want to take those terms away from people, and it probably will happen. It did happen in the UK, and it'll probably happen here, where they'll dumb people down so much that they can, by the news media, and this is a tactic they like to use. They like to say this, they'll spend like a news cycle. If they want to destroy you, they'll take time, like maybe 3 or 4 days, and that's all they'll talk about. If they're trying to find somebody to pick on and they want to destroy you in the minds of the public, they'll go on for days at a time. And so that's how they dumb you down. Well, it's the same thing with this thing where it will not be acceptable to say my wife or my husband. You'll feel, they want to make you feel embarrassed that you have to say my partner. Oh, my partner. And then And you can go online and look for these videos. I saw the video myself from, I can't remember exactly the European country that they were talking about, but there's one country where, it might be Sweden or one of those countries in Scandinavia, but where now children, now if you send your children to school, say at age 4 or age 5, they're not going to say they're a boy or a girl. They're going to let the child decide what gender they are. Now, you can't make this stuff up. You know, you and even now on television, the newest reality show, one of the newest reality shows to come out, is the transgender child that at age 4 or age 3 says, "Mommy, am I," like the little boy says, "Mommy, am I a boy or a girl?" Like, what does a 4-year-old, you're going to let a 4-year-old make that decision? So, like a normal mother would say, "No, honey, you're a boy. God made you a boy," or "God made you a girl." No, they say, "Oh, maybe my child is transgender." When I grew up, now I'm 66 years old, so when I grew up, I think I was a teenager before I even knew anything about homosexuality. I didn't even know what a homosexual was. Now, they want a 4-year-old or a 5-year-old to make a decision about what gender they are. Never thought I would see the day that people would actually spend time and call it education. Remember when we went to school and we wrote our alphabet and we read our phonics and we had our history lesson, and we didn't go to school and learn the book Heather Has Two Daddies or Heather Has Two Mommies or Am I a Boy or a Girl? Like, who did that in school? We never did that, right? So I would be very careful where I sent my kids to school. Be very careful about what they're learning in school, because you have to realize they are in school probably six or seven hours a day. And they're a captive audience there. So then they come home at night. How much time do you spend talking to them? So who has more influence on your child, you or the school? Probably the school. So you need to be diligent about the education that your child is having, especially the television programs and the books. And you have to be very diligent today, because the world is so crazy. And you can, just by looking at the state of the church today, and you could see the immorality in the church, the greed in the church, or what they call the church. So we see how the church has been dumbed down, and people don't spend time in the Word. They don't want to take the time themselves to study the scriptures and find out what thus saith the Lord. They want to go someplace on Sunday and or turn on the TV and let somebody else tell them what saith the Lord. And God does place teachers in the body of Christ, and there is a need for ministry. Yeah, we all like to be ministered to, but we should all make sure that what we're hearing lines up with the Word of God. That's our responsibility, is to find out what the truth is. Another thing that made the news this week, of course, the terrible shooting in Chattanooga. And yesterday I decided I was going to drive by our local mosque here just to see if they were having their Friday prayers. But I guess it was around 12 noon or so when I drove by, and there wasn't anybody in the parking lot, but there was three men standing out front on public property of the mosque, and they had American flags, and they said, "Wake up, America!" So there were three protesters there, and I took some pictures of the mosque, and also I noticed that they have a school there. So talking to other people, they said the same things, that most mosques also have a school attached to it. And it's they take it upon themselves to educate their children. Even though they live here in this country, they still are, we will not really, some of them, I'm not saying all of them, but some of them will not really become Americanized. They will be educated in their own schools. They will be educated in their mosques. And their beliefs are very, very different than our beliefs. Very different. But of course, we know that now the only way to reach any group of people is through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And through the love of God, hopefully we can reach some of these people, because whoever thought to, in the one insane thing, and I didn't know this, in Chattanooga, for weeks they were warning about threats to military bases. So you would think, okay, this is our Army or Navy or Marines or Air Force, that they would be armed, right? You would think they would be armed, because that's what the armed forces is supposed to do. No, they were not armed. They were in a gun neutral zone or something like that. And I was like, well, what's that? No, they're not armed. So these men were former, I think, Marines, or were shot and killed, and they were not able to defend themselves. They didn't have any guns. And don't you think that these people knew that? They know that they don't have guns. They can't defend themselves against somebody coming with a high-powered rifle and shooting the place up in broad daylight. In broad daylight. I found that unbelievable. That's something new that I learned this week. But I think I might have a caller. Let me see if this is a caller or if somebody's listening to the program here. Hello, 310. Do you have a question?
No, I'm just listening.
Okay, God bless. Thanks.
Thank you.
All right. Another thing that I wanted to talk to you about was the Planned Parenthood. Now, of course, the news came out this week, but the news did come out on a national level, which this has been going on for many, many years. The selling of aborted baby parts to medical laboratories, to cosmetic companies, to even to food companies. There was a company, and now I know you find this hard to believe. I found it hard to believe. It's like I couldn't even believe that I was reading this or hearing it. I couldn't even comprehend. I think the company's name was Seromax, Seromax, something like that. But anyway, you can look it up online. That they were actually adding the aborted baby remains to food, and that they were trying to make flavor enhancers for food. Now, I know, I'm sorry, it's disgusting, but it's really happening. Yeah. It's really happening. And so finally, of course, this thing was uncovered, but it's been going on, and people have talked about it for many, many years, that this was going on, where they were actually, these late-term abortions especially, And these babies, some of them are born alive during a late term abortion, and then they're murdered out. Some of them are murdered outside of the womb, but then they were taking their tissue and selling it to laboratories for testing. Most of us cannot even comprehend that this kind of thing goes on. But even though the news media talked about it, did they spend, like they did with Josh Duggar, they spent, I think, 4 or 5 days constantly attacking that family, exposing that family. Why didn't they spend 4 or 5 days on this issue? Why weren't the reporters out in droves investigating this? No. They talked about it a little bit, but no, that's not important enough, I guess. That's not important enough news to spend time by trying to stop this abominable practice. And I've talked about this for years on this broadcast, about the fact that most vaccinations contain aborted baby tissue. They call it fetal tissue because now they've even changed that word, and they don't call a baby in the womb a baby. They call it a fetus. I don't know anybody that's pregnant that says, oh, I'm having a fetus. I have a fetus inside of me. I don't know anybody that says that, but that's how they use words to change the way people think. So you don't think, they don't want you to think of it as a baby. They want you to think of it as a fetus. So even in the literature, and you can find it out online. I have some links on my website, propheticnews.com. Vaccines from abortion. You can do the search. You can find it for yourself. It's in the package inserts. So when you buy, when the physician buys a vial of vaccine, most of them contain it, not all of them. For instance, the shingles vaccine has it, and there's no alternative. Every shingles vaccine has aborted baby tissue in it. I think the MMR also, I think the rabies, there's quite a few of them. So the package insert that comes inside the package of the vaccine vial has the ingredients. And it says human diploid cells. So you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out that, okay, why is there such a rise in autism? Why? When I grew up, I think we had one vaccine. One. Now there's 35 or 40 or 50, I don't know how many they give kids now, it's out of sight. And most of them contain this aborted baby tissue, along with mercury, embalming fluid, formaldehyde, aluminum, monkey cells. Like, I'm not a monkey, so why am I getting monkey cells? Yeah, I'm not saying that the idea of a vaccination is a bad idea. If it is safe, and if I don't have to get a monkey cell or something else that's disgusting, why do I want to be injected with that? I know there was one group of people that said, and I know it's probably hard for people to do this, but they said that the best way to keep your children from getting a lot of diseases is to keep them home, because once they go to school, if you homeschool them up to a certain age, when their immune system develops, they don't come down with so many things. How do most kids get sick when they go to the daycare and the other kid's sick and they put things in their mouth, or they're out in public and somebody's got the flu and somebody sneezes on you or whatever. So most people catch things from other people. So that's the main reason why, you know, people get vaccinated, is because things are contagious from other people. I know it's, you know, basically impossible to keep children home all the time, but I know there was one group that said that if children were kept home up until about the age of 7, when their immune systems were developed, they'd have a better chance of fighting things off. So that information is out there. Do the research yourself. Be informed. Because you can talk to any parent that has an autistic child. That's hard to deal with. That it's devastating. Devastating. And you didn't really hear of autism when I was growing up. Nobody had it. There was one study that was done, and you can also look this up, that there was no autism found in the Amish communities because they don't vaccinate. And there was no autism. There was a man that went and did a study and did research on it, and there was no autism found. So that information is out there, and you can read the research, you can read the documents, and very funny, I mean, it's not funny, but it's kind of strange that over the past few weeks, there's been several doctors found dead, especially the doctors that were doing the research about the vaccinations. Now, that's odd. Why would anybody be angry or upset about trying to help people and trying to do things better? There isn't any reason to be angry at people or try to hurt somebody just because they're handing out information. This information is available on the internet. It's available from the vaccine companies. Like I said, any drug that you want to find out about, you can go on the website of the manufacturer and read the package insert. And it tells you all the side effects. It tells you the ingredients, most importantly. And so what's everybody, why are they so afraid of information when the information is already there? So we have to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves in the days that we're living in. But let's look at another story. Oh, dear. Now, of course, you know, we have this Pope Francis Bergoglio. He gave himself the name Francis. And now Francis, he's very cunning. He just looks like a very jolly old man, and he just looks like he's so friendly, but he's, beware, he, like, remember, who was it? Was it Goldilocks? Oh, what long teeth you have, Grandma. Well, yeah, it's the same thing we should be saying about Bergoglio. The other day, and I like to, you know, channel surf, I like to look at, I can do like 3 or 4 things at one time. Sometimes I'm looking at this, I'm looking at that. I love information. So I'm looking at the Catholic channel, and they have Bergoglio, the Pope. He's in Latin America somewhere. So he's saying a mass, and there's an altar there, and on the altar, there's about 6 solid gold chalices. I mean, expensive. And of course they have jewels on them, they have diamonds on them, they have pearls on them, they have rubies on them, and that's on the altar, okay? And they believe, Catholics believe, that they put wine in some of those cups, and then they put a wafer in some of those cups. And now, I grew up Catholic, so I know what I'm talking about. So we would go to church on Sunday, and bells would ring, and incense, they had incense burner, and there was an altar, and there was a tabernacle on the altar. And when Mass wasn't being said, inside that tabernacle was a golden chalice that had a wafer in it. And when we went to church, when there wasn't a Mass, like if you wanted to go in and pray, you would go in and you would bow down to this altar with the tabernacle that had the chalice in it, because we believed that Jesus lived in that wafer. He was in there. That's what we believe. Now, I know that it's hard for most clear-thinking people to believe that, but imagine how cunning the devil is, that he's managed to get probably, I think there's over a billion Catholics in the world. He's actually convinced over a billion people that Jesus Christ himself lives in a wafer. And that's how I thought of Jesus. I thought of him on the cross, because we had those statues in the church where Jesus was hanging on the cross. And then, of course, Jesus lived in that box on the altar in the wafer. So that's what I believed growing up. And so anyway, Bergoglio, he's got these chalices there, and he's doing his hocus pocus, and the bells ring, and the incense goes off, and all of a sudden, the bread and wine turns into the body and blood of Jesus. And so then Jesus is in that chalice. And then they take that chalice and they pass it around, and you know, people hold out their hands and they stick out their tongues and they want to receive Jesus. That's how a Catholic receives Jesus. They're not born again. No, they're not born again. No, no, no. That's how they receive Jesus. But they don't know who Jesus is. No, that Jesus lives in that chalice. He lives in a wafer. You have other ideas of Jesus, but you don't really know him. You know about him. And so now this Bergoglio, he's very, very slick. He's a real good PR guy. He lives in this palace now. He lives in a palace he lives in Rome. I know it's got over 1,000 rooms. It's huge. He has butlers. He has footmen. He has, if you notice, if you ever see him, if you ever watch the Catholic Channel, people take his hat off. They take his cape off. Oh, yeah, probably somebody puts his shoes on in the morning. Maybe somebody even brushes his teeth. Everybody does everything for him because he's the Pope. You kiss his ring, you bow down to him. He's on a real tremendous ego trip. Like, you can't even imagine the ego of this man. And so he's in Latin America, and of course there's many, many, many poor people in Latin America. There's children, abandoned children that live in garbage dumps. Now, if you can imagine this is supposed to be a civilized country where the Catholic Church has millions of members. And I imagine probably the Christian Church has millions of members, but yet there's children living in garbage dumps, and they live there. And that's how they get their food. This goes on. And they don't stop it. No, nobody stops it. No, no. They don't say, let's build some orphanages. Maybe Bergoglio could sell one of his chalices, you know? Or maybe he could move out of that thousand-room palace he lives in, say, like in my county here, we have about, I would say, 6 or 7 Catholic churches. It's not a big county. It's, you know, a little over 200,000 people. So just the real estate alone in my county that's owned by the Catholic Church is multiple millions of dollars. So around the world, trillions in real estate. Probably billions in artwork and gold chalices and gold crosses and crowns and whatever else. So, like Bergoglio, he talks against capitalism, and he tries to make people feel bad that they earn a living, that they actually made something out of their life. Honestly, not like him. Okay, not like him. That honest people actually made something out of their life. And he tries to make them feel guilty, like they're not doing enough for the poor. Well, what's he doing for the poor? Is he really doing anything? No. But he's a smooth operator. It's smooth. You know, and he actually... The Catholics actually believe that. They actually believe that. In my Catholic church, now, I got out of the Catholic church when I was 12 years old. I had enough. But in the church I went to, when you walked in the door, there was a poor box there. And it was a tall metal box. It was thin, but it was probably 5 or 6 feet tall. And it said poor box on it, and you came in and you put your change in there, and that's what they used for the poor. They had their gold chalices in there, their diamond encrusted chalice where Jesus lived, and but they had that little box for the poor. So what did Jesus say? He said, "You hypocrites, you den of thieves, you snakes." Bergoglio. Oh, yeah, Bergoglio, please. I don't want to hear it, but people believe it. Now, a group of people that believes, and they love Bergoglio, recently, and very recently, in the past few weeks, it says, and this is from the realnewsrightnow.com, prominent American pastors Joel Osteen and Rick Warren, respectively, as well as Justin Welby, the Archbishop of Canterbury, and that's the head of the Church of England, were among the Protestant. Now, I'm not a Protestant. No, I'm not a Protestant. I am a Christian. The Catholics gave us that name, Protestant. No, we were called Christians at Antioch. I reject that. I don't want the name they gave me, because they try to say they are Christians and they are the one true church and we're the Protestants. No, no, that's enough of that smokescreen. Anyway, they say the Protestant delegation that met with Pope Francis last week, Pastor Warren, remember Rick Warren, the famous author, and founder of Saddleback Church in Lake Forest, California, spoke with members of the international press in St. Peter's Square, saying Protestants as a people, I don't know who he's talking about, Protestants, because I'm not a Protestant, Protestants as a people have a long history of heresy. Oh, really? Mm-hmm. The time for reconciliation is now, in order to ensure a full and dogmatic transition into the folds of the church. Wow. Mm-hmm. The wolf shows his fangs. Rick Warren. Moments before meeting with reporters, the entire Protestant delegation, for the first time ever, entered the confessional to take part individually in the sacrament of penance. Well, I didn't know penance was a sacrament. Repentance. Mm-hmm. It is important that we participate in these sacred rituals before asking our congregation. Now listen to this, okay? Listen carefully to this quote. And this story is published, and you can go read it in its entirety on realnewsrightnow.com. Now listen to this quote and who it came from. It's important that we participate in these sacred rituals before asking our congregation to do the same. Pastor Osteen said, Joel Osteen, adding that his time in confession was an immensely moving experience. Now, I want to tell you something. I grew up Catholic. I was Catholic for the first 12 years of my life. I went to a Catholic school. It was only for Catholics. For 7 years, I went to the Catholic school, so I was indoctrinated every day. We had catechism class every day. We never read the Bible, but every morning we stood in front of a statue of Saint Michael, the archangel, and a statue of Mary, and before school we would sing songs, and then we'd go to our catechism class and be indoctrinated into the ways of Catholicism. And I want to tell you something. I went into the confessional, to the box, where you can go in any Catholic church today and you'll find a box in there. There'll be a few boxes in there. And there's two sides to the box. One box is where the priest sits. And of course, we don't need a priest anymore to mediate for us. Jesus is our high priest. So we don't need that. But anyway, the priest sits in the box, and then you go behind a curtain in another box that's attached, and then there's a little gate, like a little, you can't really see the priest's face. You can kind of see him. You might be able to make out who it is, but there's this grate, and it's got holes in it, and it's dark in there. So you go in there, and you kneel down, and you say, you know, I can probably still say the prayer. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. It has been 1 week since my last confession. So you weren't taught that you could go to God and ask for forgiveness of your sins. No. You couldn't do that. No. You had to wait. Like, if you committed a sin, imagine the fear in a child that you had to wait. I had to wait all week before I could go to confession and go inside the box. And I could tell the priest my sins, and then he would say to me, okay, you had to confess all your sins to him. You had to tell him all your stuff. And then he would bless you, give you the sign of the cross, bless you. And he would say, okay, this is your penance, because then you were a sinner, so you had to pay for your sin. So usually they would say to you, your penance is, you have to say 10 Our Fathers and 10 Hail Marys. So now, I'm not making this up. This is true. It still happens today everywhere in every Catholic church in the world. This is what happens. So this is not Christianity, folks. No. Oh, no, it's not Christianity. So we would do this, and then the only way you could go get communion, the only way you could receive Jesus in the wafer, is if you went to this confessional, and you had to do this every time. And in the Catholic Church at the time I was growing up, I don't know if it's still this way, but You were required once a year as a Catholic to go to confession and to make communion. Because if you didn't go once a year, you committed a mortal sin. And what a mortal sin was, is that if you died with that mortal sin, you would go straight to hell. Yeah. 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 So imagine growing up and being a child and being so afraid of God that if I didn't go to church on Sunday, if I didn't make my, and I went to church all the time. So, but imagine if you didn't go to church for a year, you couldn't get there or whatever. And you couldn't go into the box to get confession, and you couldn't go up to the altar and take the wafer. That if you died in that state, there was no hope for you. You were going to hell. You were going to hell, because there's, in the Catholic Church, there's a mortal sin and there's a venial sin. And that was a mortal sin. So it's also a very good way to keep the pews filled up. You had to go. Yeah, you had to go. Because when I was a little girl, there was no way I wanted to die with a mortal sin, because I knew I was going to hell. No, there was no salvation in Jesus Christ. No, there was no salvation. No. 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 There was no born again life of forgiveness of sins and your past was put behind you. No. And now you have an idiot, Osteen, going and hanging around Bergoglio and drinking the Kool-Aid and actually allowing himself to go inside a confessional and then to say it was an immensely moving experience. It was never immensely moving for me. Never. Never. And I did it hundreds of times. When I would go into that box, first of all, I was scared to death that I had to go in there, because if I died and I didn't make it over there, that I was going to hell. So it was never moving for me. I had to do it. You think that I liked it? I didn't like it. I didn't even like the priest. If I knew who the priest was that was in there, it might be a priest that I couldn't stand. And I had to go in there and tell him all my sins. And don't think that they don't use it against you. Because you know how it is when you have a friend and you tell your friend too much and you say, no, don't tell anybody. Well, forget about it. They're going to tell somebody. So if you want to keep something a secret, don't tell anybody else, because your friend will betray you. I guarantee you. You will hear it somewhere down the road. So you think that these priests and these confessionals can keep secrets about people's private lives, and that they wouldn't use it for extortion and for bribery? Yeah, they sure would. So anyway, here's some other quotes from this story. It says, as Protestants, and remember, we are not Protestants. We are Christians. We reject their term. Around the world, make the transition, this is the quote, as Protestants around the world make the transition to Catholicism, many are wondering what exactly that means for them. First and foremost, we acknowledge the Pope's infallibility with regard to universal and moral declarations. And what that means is that the Pope cannot make a mistake in matters of doctrine. That's what that means. Infallibility means that he's infallible. Everything he says is gospel. The authority of church magistrate faith in ex cathedra. This is a guy called Father, and of course, didn't Jesus say, call no man father, call no man rabbi? Say now, but this is Father Cliff Brogan, a former Protestant pastor, now a Catholic priest, who was the first of the delegation to be ordained as a priest at the Vatican. Secondly, we participate in the sacrament of the Eucharist by accepting the actual body and blood of Christ, an event known as transubstantiation at the conclusion of the Mass. Now, intelligent people shouldn't believe that, right? Intelligent people should not believe that a man can stand at an altar and ring bells and burn incense and have a chalice standing in front of him with bread and a wafer in it, and all of a sudden, in millions of churches all over the world, all of a sudden Jesus appears in that chalice in a wafer. Now, normal intelligent people shouldn't believe that, right? But they do. They believe it. They believe it. And now Osteen and Warren and Kenneth Copeland's been over there, and John Arnott and James Robison, and they've all been over there to see the Pope. And now you have Osteen publicly participating in this abomination and leading others astray. We need to be careful. We need to be careful. What labels they tried to put on us, we reject them. What deception they tried to lay at on us, we reject it. I do not accept your ecumenical movement. We have to reject it. Catholicism is not Christianity. I was never born again in the Catholic Church. I never knew Jesus Christ as my Savior. I might have said it with my mouth. Oh, yeah, we used to say that. Oh, yeah, Jesus is our Savior. But no, I never knew what that meant. I never knew what it meant. I knew the story of Jesus Christ coming to earth, but I didn't really understand that he always was. I didn't understand that he came to die. I knew he died, but they told us that the Jews killed Jesus. Oh, I used to cry. Oh, people killed him. He was so wonderful, and people killed him. Well, he came to die. Nobody killed him. Nobody could have killed him. He came to die. He gave up his life willingly. He had to be the blood sacrifice, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world and give us the New Testament, a better testament than what we had in the Old Testament when people couldn't keep the law. They couldn't keep it. But Jesus writes his law in our heart. We know the difference between right and wrong when we're born again. We know to do right. We know when we're doing wrong. We're supposed to know it. Obviously, Rick Warren and Joel Osteen, the Pied Piper, the two new Pied Pipers of heresy, as they unite with Rome. And this is one big sign to watch out for, is the ecumenical movement and the merging of so-called Christianity with real Christianity. And we don't unite with heresy. No. Jesus told us, yes, we're supposed to love people, but that doesn't mean that we're supposed to join their organizations. and participate in their foolishness. You know, maybe Rick Warren, of course, he came out and the devil blessed him with the purpose-driven church. And it was a downward spiral from there because he appeared on the scene. He became extremely wealthy through the sales of his book. And it was all an agenda that you can see now really where the agenda goes. It's the same thing with Osteen. Joel Osteen basically came out of nowhere. Of course, his father was the pastor and of the church and passed away. And then Joel all of a sudden shot to this tremendous stardom and became very wealthy through the sales of his book, Your Best Life Now, or whatever. You know, there's Joel with this big smile on his face. But they're deceived. They're deceived. They're deceivers. And that's one of the things. Whenever you start seeing people unite with a false religious system, that's the time to say, we mark them. We mark them that cause divisions, and we stay away from these people. We do not associate with that type of heresy. And because it's very seductive. It for these people, it's very seductive for them to be invited to the Vatican. Oh, I'm going to the Vatican. It's like when if somebody invites you to meet the president. Oh, yeah, somebody's inviting you to meet the president. You know, that's a big deal. And it's like the Pope invites them, and there's a reason the Pope invites them. He invites them to seduce them. And they're being seduced. He actually got the Archbishop of Canterbury, which is the head of the Church of England, which was founded after Henry VIII, who was a Catholic, wanted to divorce his wife. And so he broke away from the Catholic Church and he started his own church. Now, the Archbishop of Canterbury in England is the head of that Church of England. So the Pope actually got the Archbishop of Canterbury, Rick Warren, and Joel Osteen to go into a confessional, into a box, and confess their sins to a priest. He actually got them to do that. And they did it because they were flattered that they were going to the Vatican. So we have to be careful that sometimes people offer us things and we're not supposed to take it. No matter how, it's like, remember Eve? God told her, don't eat the apple and the fruit, and she ate it. So what happened? We're still suffering the consequences of that, right? So something might look good and it's very seductive. It might look like it's the right thing to do, but it's a trap. It's a trap. And we see these people falling into the trap, and we, as Christians, as the true church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we reject it. And we take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness. We do not unite with false religious systems and with heretics. We separate ourselves. For the sake, you know, for our own lives, and for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we stand up for the truth, no matter what the cost is to us personally, that we tell people the truth, because their eternal salvation depends on it. Either we believe that or we don't believe it. So the signs of the times are very, very dangerous right now. And people, have you noticed how easily people are offended? And even friends, you can just say one little wrong thing and they're so offended. And it's just a very, very strange time. But the Bible says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Iron sharpens iron. So why are we so easily offended by truth? We're living in some very, very strange days. Very strange. And it's important for all of us to spend time in the Word every day and to keep an attitude of repentance before the Lord, to keep ourselves humble before God, and to examine ourselves, to examine our motives, and just make sure that we keep our life right. Remember one thing, that you may, the only person that you can ever really 100% depend on is Jesus Christ. And we all like friends and we all like fellowship. We all love that. But we have to remember that people will let us down. They will let us down if we don't keep our eyes on Jesus, because he's not going to fail us. He promised us that. He promised that he's going to get us through every situation we have to go through. And he is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. So we put our faith and trust in him, and we do what we can to get the gospel out, to help people, to bless people, to tell people the truth as we know it. And we thank God for the amazing grace that's come into our life, and how wonderful it is to know the Lord Jesus Christ. How wonderful it is to have his forgiveness of our sins. There's nothing in the world better than having a personal relationship with God Almighty, and to realize that God really does love us. He really does love us. And he's given us the promise of eternal life through his Son. And that no matter what you've done in your life, all of us have a past. All of us have a past. But we know that the day that we were born again and we asked God to forgive us of our sins and Jesus came into our life and changed our life, we know that our old life passed away. We know that. And we know that those things are forgotten about. We have a new life. That old Susan doesn't exist anymore. She's dead. And all of you, whatever happened in the past, that's in the past. We know we have forgiveness of sins. And that's some of my listeners today. Maybe you don't know that, but you can know that. No matter what you've done, God will forgive you. And he says he forgets about it. He said, though your sins be as scarlet, you can be washed white as snow. He says he'll put your sins so far in the past, you can receive forgiveness of sins. And you can be free from that guilt and condemnation that comes along with it. There might be people that try to remind you of it. But, no, when you're born again, the old person is dead. And you receive a new life in Christ Jesus. You become a new creature. Hallelujah. I'm grateful for the new creature. And that's what we want to let people know, is that Jesus said in the third chapter of John that you must be born again. You're born first of your mother, and then you must be born again of the Spirit of God. And confession is made with the mouth unto salvation. You must confess it. You must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he was born of a virgin, that he died on the cross. He rose from the dead. He's alive. He ascended into heaven, and he sits at the right hand of the Father. And he said, where I go, you can come also. So we know that we have the promise of eternal life, and that when we leave this life, we can go on to be with him. We serve a living Savior, a real Savior. Not a God in a chalice, not a God in a box, not a God in a wafer. We serve a risen Savior, a real Savior. And that's the good news of the gospel. And we give it freely. We give it freely. So I hope you were blessed today. I hope you will take it to heart and you will ask Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins today. And get out your Bible. Start reading your Bible. Look for fellowship. Look for a place to have good Christian fellowship. Spend time especially reading the Gospel of John and the book of Romans. And find out the good news. The Bible is the best book in the world. It's the number one selling book of all time. It's been loved and cherished for many centuries. And we know how much we love it. Well, when we read it and wow, God is so smart. I'm not. He is. He's a lot smarter. So that's why we want to do it His way. And you can have a much better life. You want prosperity? What's real prosperity? Real prosperity is knowing God and living a good, honest life, a life of integrity. Yeah, that's prosperity. So I want to thank you all for tuning in today. Thank you so much, everybody in the chat room that came by and everybody that listens to our broadcast. We're going on 6 years, hard to believe. In August, we've been broadcasting for 6 years. So very grateful for the time that God's given us. Many wonderful programs, many wonderful guests, brothers and sisters in the Lord that I've been able to meet and talk with over the past 6 years. So we'll be going on our seventh year, and we're very, very grateful for that. So thank you, everybody. I love you very much, and I want to thank everybody that tuned in, okay? God bless you today. Have a great day. Be blessed. Bye-bye.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.